Well, I think these are two completely different concepts. So concerning the death of nature, well, there's a book with this title by Caroline Merchant, and you could argue that a certain notion of nature, well, does no longer make sense. For example, this notion of nature, where it is a viable source of, let's say, moral principles. For example, living in harmony with nature. So this is a very, problematic concept. And I think in this sense, you could say nature is dead. Well, this is a metaphor, but you could say this nature, in a way, is dead, as we have other sources for our moral principles. But on the other hand, trees are still growing and bees are flying, so a certain other nature is still thriving and living, and this nature is not dead. You should also think of Nietzsche. He said, well, in this I think in the Mad Men episode in the Gay Science, he says God is dead and God remains dead. And maybe this talk about the dead nature is also an allusion to this dead God. And but still, I think there are many notions of and concepts of nature, and we have to develop our own notion. We will talk about this later.
And what about the Anthropocene? I mean, why?
Yes, Anthropocene. Well, this is a geologic concept that has many implications also for the humanities, and but essentially it is a concept of is there a geologic period, which by the way is a very short one up to now, that we could call Anthropocene. I think no one doubts that man is harvesting the biosphere in a very tremendous way nowadays. Man is moving more stone than all the rivers in the world, and man is modifying the composition of the atmosphere, and man can be seen from outer space with the lights of his cities, and he's also threatening many biological species. So I think it makes a certain sense that man is really changing since, let's say, 200 years nature in a way that we could speak also of a new geological era. But the geologists are still arguing about this, and it might be that this is a very, very short period in the history of life and in the history of Earth. And it is also a political concept, because it shall raise attention to our topics and to our ecological topics, and therefore it is a bit ambiguously from a scientific point of view, I think. But still, I think the basic idea, man is changing nature in a way that we did not see before, this notion certainly is true. We have many facts and arguments that support this view. Okay, so I think crisis means, the Greek word means says it's a decision. And in a way, of course, we are in a decisive phase in the history of life on Earth, as I already said when we were talking about the Anthropocene. So I really think, man is working so, or let's say in a different way, man is changing nature in at such a pace and in such ways that we really have good arguments to say that we have an environmental crisis. However, this is a crisis that we see. So nature itself hasn't crisis. It is changing. But we ourselves, mankind, feel threatened by these changes in nature. And that's why people are talking about environmental crisis. But also this is a political notion. It is not an ecological notion. So, in the ecological discourse, we have, of course, a very alarmist way of talking about things. And maybe there are also good reasons to be alarmed. But on the other hand, we have still to distinguish between scientific assertions and political opinions. So I think the notion of ecological crisis is in a way a political one. And it means that man is changing composition of the atmosphere. It means that man is changing the climate, global climate. Man is changing also the biosphere in the oceans, and so on and so on. And this is what shall be pointed to with the word environmental crisis. But however, I think in so far I agree. We have an environmental crisis. We are living in a decisive phase or a decisive era of life on Earth. Yes, how would I specify this? I think we are always talking about man, in this generic man. But in reality, it is only a small fraction of the people now living on Earth, a small fraction of people who have a very, very strong impact on ecosystems. And, well, this is people here in the Western and in the Northern Hemisphere, and less the people in the Southern Hemisphere. So I think we have to keep in mind that it is only a fraction of the world population that we mean when speaking about man harvesting the biosphere. It is only a certain group of people. So this is the way how I would specify this talk about environmental crisis in respect to man. I think there's a certain sense in also attributing agency to non-human actors, and we have more than one concept trying to do so. And of course, nature is also in a way striking back. For example, wild animals now are living in our cities, and they're coming. The pigs are coming from the forests into our German cities, and so this is also a way where how nature itself comes to us and does something. And this, I think, really you could interpret as a political act. Insofar, I think, there is a certain agency also of non-human actors. And they are not voting, they are not uttering opinions and so on, but they make their presence to be felt by us. And this is, in a way, also a demonstration without words. Yes, and I think this is what already happens, because there are many ways how this happens already now, via advocacy models where people say we speak for, the wild animals, we speak for the butterflies and for the atmosphere and so on. So I think this already takes place in our political culture when we are speaking about nature and environment. And this will, of course, continue, and we will see many new forms how non-human actors are included in our political processes.